This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. As President Biden tried to bring down the temperature in Geneva this week, a long-standing argument over press freedom was boiling over in Washington.
Leaders from CNN, The New York Times, and The Washington Post will meet with Attorney General Merrick Garland today. The meeting is set to discuss a controversial Trump-era leak investigation. It comes after revelations that Department of Justice officials saw 2017 phone and email records from reporters at all three media outlets.
Eight reporters were targeted, and we don't yet have an official reason why, but we can guess. In 2017, The Washington Post and The New York Times were each reporting out stories that involved leaked classified documents. Under Trump, the DOJ went looking for the newsroom sources and hit a dead end. But in 2020, then-Attorney General William Barr restarted the probe, this time filing subpoenas for the journalists' email and phone records, and issuing gag orders so the news organization's lawyers couldn't tell the staff that they were targets. 2021 brought a change in command, but initially no change in policy. Under Biden, the DOJ continued fighting in court to obtain phone and email records for reporters at the Times. In March, it issued yet another gag order. But this month, both the gag and the quest for records were dropped, and the new president expressed scrupulous regret.
It's simply wrong.
So you won't let your Justice Department do that?
I will not let that happen.
While conceding some mildly exculpatory ignorance.
It's an independent Justice Department. They will proceed, of course, with a range of investigations, which, as we noted in our statement on Saturday morning, we did not know about the gag order until minutes before the reporting came out on Friday night.
The tension between government secrets and a free press have spanned multiple decades and administrations. And Matt Apuzzo, an international investigative reporter for The New York Times, is no stranger to being caught in the middle. Matt, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks so much for having me here.
What do you make of the White House spokesperson Jen Psaki's response that the DOJ is an independent body, that the Biden administration itself didn't even know it was going on for a while? I think she said that. And we condemn Trump for using the department as his own private goon squad. She didn't say that. Should we slam Biden for a lag before pulling the brake?
I don't really care. I'm not into this for politics. My colleagues and I went through this under the Obama administration. The Obama administration used the Espionage Act in unprecedented ways to go after people. That administration completely trampled on the rights of a free press. So this is a bipartisan strategy here.
The incident you were directly involved in under the Obama administration, that was back in 2013. You were at AP, and you and reporter Adam Goldman broke news about an Al-Qaeda-affiliated bomb plot in Yemen.
We revealed that there was an active plot, that the government knew about it, wasn't telling people that there were active threats to travel, threats to the homeland, and that this was a very live plot with a sophisticated new type of bomb. They initiated an investigation and they seized our phone records without any sort of ability to argue in court that that was an overreach. I would love to say that we were the only ones that happened to, but unfortunately, the Obama administration made a habit of going after reporters and going after people who talk to reporters. And so the rules that dictate how the Justice Department should handle these sorts of things changed under Obama administration.
in his second term. These incidents dropped off.
Yeah, and the idea was that there should be a higher bar when the government comes for reporter work product, and that reporters ideally should get a chance to argue in court that this is an overreach. And then the administration changed, and we went right back to square one.
Go back one more administration to George W. Bush. The DOJ was very aggressive with national security reporters, jailed Judy Miller, a Times reporter, for 85 days for refusing to reveal confidential sources regarding CIA operative Valerie Plame. This is not partisan. I'm just wondering, leak investigations, seized records, gag orders. We all know that this is going to have a chilling effect, but have you ever experienced a likely source backing off because of this?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can never know why somebody doesn't want to talk to you, but I can absolutely tell you the chilling effect is real. It is not a theoretical thing, and that is precisely why it gets done. It gets done to tell people in the government that they're going to get caught if they step out of line. Because let's remember, what gets you in trouble in Washington is not talking about classified information. What gets you in trouble in Washington is talking about stuff that makes the government mad, right? Nobody gets in trouble for talking about the bin Laden raid. Let's tell the whole story in every detail about the most highly classified operation ever. We'll make a movie about it, right? Well, CIA will participate. What gets you in trouble is when you say, actually, you know, they're waterboarding people in secret prisons, or there's illegal wiretapping going on, or the government's collecting everybody's phone records in America. They hide under the guise of it's classified, even though everything in this government is classified. The intention is to scare people off of talking to reporters. That's the goal, so that the only information that gets out is the officially blessed version of the story.
You'd been through this before. How was it for you when you found out about this latest incident?
We had seen that the government had come for the Washington Post, and we'd seen that they'd come for CNN. So when they said, oh, yep, you guys too, it wasn't a huge surprise, but obviously it was really upsetting. And the real thing that was upsetting, Brooke, is that you know, this is career law enforcement people weaponizing really anti-American, anti-press rhetoric. When the president of the United States says the press is the enemy of the people, and he points to the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN, and then prosecutors go and get a secret order to start rummaging around in email accounts and in phone records, that should be troubling to anybody.
Do you think that some of your sources and those of other reporters have been revealed during this process?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know at this point what they have, what they intend to do with it. I sure as hell think they should give back what they have and destroy copies. But first, we need to know what the heck happened. We need a reckoning to know, were the rules followed? The rules are pretty clear that this has to be signed off on by the Attorney General and the head of public affairs. So let's just see the chain of command. Let's see if the policy worked.
What do you do to prevent your records becoming vulnerable? You use encryption procedures that offer some protection to a source.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, everybody has encrypted apps on their phone now, and you try to do your meetings in person, and for sensitive stuff, leave your phone at home. But look, here's the thing. Reporters aren't spies, and we shouldn't have to be. We're not doing anything wrong. We're trying to tell the story of our government, and that's important. We can all take precaution, but it's naive of us to think that I, sitting at the New York Times with my phone and an encrypted app, am going to defeat the most sophisticated and best-funded intelligence-gathering operation in the history of mankind. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
What would satisfy you, Matt? Assuming that there are sometimes, rarely, occasions where a reporter or a source may overstep and actually threaten national security.
Two things on that. First, I just want to push back on this idea that harming national security is somehow a standard, because looking at everything we know about the way the government has conducted itself since 9/11, about drone strikes, about secret prisons, torture, abuses at Guantanamo Bay, abuses at Abu Ghraib, wireless wiretapping, everything we know was under this guise of, if you reveal it, you're going to harm national security. So if you took that off the table, what would you know about what the government does to keep you safe? You would know nothing. They always say, if you print the truth, it's going to harm national security. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would push back on is, when I talk to my kids, when something goes wrong, I get you're sorry. And I get you promise you're never going to do it again. But first, I need to understand what happened. So you asked me what would satisfy me. I'm much more interested right now in understanding how this went off the rails than I am trying to envision what are we going to do. Because we can't ask the question of how are we going to fix it until we know what happened.
So what's that missing piece that's getting at you?
Where did the idea for these subpoenas come from? What were they looking for? Who proposed it? Who authorized it? Were the internal procedures followed? Why did the government argue behind closed doors? We couldn't possibly tell the reporters that we wanted to see their phone records. We couldn't possibly let them come to court because it was a big secret. Why was that allowed to be said when there's an article, I think on the front page of the New York Times and elsewhere, saying there's a leak investigation going on into these stories? I just want to know. And I know the inspector general is investigating this. And I know, obviously, the fact that members of Congress and their families also had records seized on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of this. Look, nobody is arguing the government doesn't have a right to protect its own secrets and to conduct internal investigations. They have huge power to do that internally. They can go through people's phone records. They can do polygraphs. They can pull security clearances. There's no shortages of tools that they have at their disposal. What I don't understand is why this all-powerful intelligence apparatus that has cropped up in the last 20 years suddenly hits a dead end and is really interested in going through my news gathering materials. So wherever we end up, I'd be pretty happy to have that line be a little clearer.
The implication is that they don't need journalists to find this stuff out. So they're doing it for another reason.
Yeah, they're sending a message that if you write stories we don't like, there's always a risk of consequences. It's as much a message for me and my colleagues as it is for everybody who works in the government. And again, there's no surprise that the news organizations that they came for were the Washington Post, the New York Times, and CNN, given everything that the former president was saying about those news organizations almost on a daily basis.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brooke.
Matt Apuzzo is an international investigative reporter for the New York Times based in Belgium.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.